If you got your Bible, let's go to Daniel chapter 7. And are you going to put the PowerPoint on, or you just, we don't have to have it. They have, do y'all have the outline? You should have it from your first packet. All right, we don't have to go there if you got your outline. If you don't have an outline, then you need to jot it down. I got a real simple outline. But Daniel chapter 7, I've been showing you charts every week. And we may refer to, I don't know if we can get to it tonight or not, but because of the way we're doing it tonight, I may get back to the charts. But go to Daniel chapter 7, and I'm going to take you through it. Now, I've given you a lot of introduction for the last 3 weeks on Daniel chapter 7. So what I've done, Freddie Green, how many of y'all love Freddie? Three people. Okay. Freddie, it's a one time. You need to come in and probably come up here. Don't have to, though. I done something you said. Are you going to say thank you? Okay. Freddie said this, and you know, I thought about it all week. He said, why don't you, because this stuff's so deep, give us a fact sheet to where we can follow you. And I'll give you some of the facts, that some of this deep stuff you see, and some of this. And you're going to be fascinated tonight. You remember what our title is? Is anyone really in control? I don't know. I think I had seven people came in this auditorium tonight, and every one of them was mentioning the chaos that's in America right now. And it is chaotic. I mean, I'm going to tell you, they're crazy on all levels. But I want y'all to know this. It may be chaotic, but it's not taking God by surprise. And my God is in control. And He has always been in control. And when we start showing you this, now remember now, and we'll show you the facts in a moment, Daniel is writing chapter 7 in 553 B.C., you got to understand, he's writing in 553 B.C., and he's going to take us all the way to the end of time, to the last 10-nation confederacy that will lead this world under the Antichrist, and he's going to give us a view in chapter 7 of the whole mess. And he done it in 553 B.C., that's when he started writing chapter 7. Man, that's amazing to me. You're saying, you mean God inspired him? See, that's why, can I make one more statement? That is why, hey, Lois, you know why the liberals hate the book of Daniel? It's because if Daniel is right, and it is, it blows every theory they got. See, the liberals believe that Daniel was written in 165 B.C., and Daniel's not a prophecy, and Daniel's only a history book. But I gotta upset their apple cart. If that's true, if Daniel's not a prophet, then Jesus is a liar, your faith is in vain, and you're on your way to hell. Because Jesus said, Daniel the prophet. Somebody help me preach. You mark that down. Let's go. I'll read a few verses to explain them. And I'll kind of go verse by verse. And we'll read a few, then say a few things, then read a few more. In the first year of Belshazzar. Now he takes you back when Belshazzar took over the kingdom from Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. And four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked. and it was lifted up from the earth and made stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side. Is that not amazing? Let me ask you, how many of y'all know what that means? Him raising up on one side? That's amazing. I'm Rich, absolutely amazing. Some of y'all said, well, that don't have no meaning at all. Oh, yes, it does. Because when it went on to one side, it showed the supremacy. That was the Medo-Persia empire. And it showed the supremacy of the Persian empire because he went up on one side. That one side was the Persian empire. God don't leave anything to doubt. Boy, say amen or else, because that's good preaching. That's straight down the book. Amen. Let me go on. Because you ain't never heard, don't mean it ain't right. Behold, another beast, second like to a bear, and it raised itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it. And I'll tell you what that is in a minute. Between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise and devour much flesh. After this, I beheld, and lo, another, like a leper. And upon his, upon the back of it, four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces, and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I considered the horns. And behold, there came up among them another little horn. Before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. Behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. And I'll stop right there. I won't get ahead of myself. So let's go over these verses. I love the Bible. How many love the Bible? Now, the time of the writing was 553 B.C. You say, well, how old was Daniel when he wrote chapter 7? It's right in your nose. He was in his mid-60s. About my age. I'm in my mid to upper 60s. Daniel 7:2 said, Daniel spake and said, I saw in my night, or vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven strove upon the great sea. That four winds of north, south, east, and west are winds of heaven. That teaches us God's doings. I want all y'all to know, when you walk out here tonight, don't walk out here with your head down. Walk out here with your head up. Because everything you're seeing happening in your life today, in this world today, it's God's doings. You say, is Donald Trump God's doings? Yes. So was Barack Obama. So was George Bush. And so was even Bill Clinton. That was God's doing. You say, preachers, but don't you dare tell me that God put them in office. Who did it then? He sets up kings and he puts down kings. It's not an accident, these guys. By the way, you know what they're doing right now, right in history? They're fulfilling God's plan. They're just little puppets in the hand of the master. You think they got a lot of power? They have no power compared to his power. They have no insight compared to his insight. They have no authority outside his authority. Good preaching. Somebody needs to preach that today. I think we got a bunch of independent Baptists that are scared and nervous and worried to death about what's going on. Instead of looking out, we ought to be looking up. Whew. Let me go on. I start doing that, man, I'm going to get off it. The great sea, raging. Understood symbolically as a raising chaos and confusion and conflicts among the nations of this world. These beasts come out of the sea. The Gentile nations out of the sea. Look at verse 3 and 4. And the four great beasts came up from the sea, out of the chaos, diverse from one another. Now remember, somebody tell me, class, in Daniel 2, how was Babylon symbolized? Y'all done lost it. In Daniel 2, gold head. Head of gold. Just parallel, Daniel 2 is the same, the head of gold is the same as a lion that had eagle's wings. And we'll get to that in a moment. And beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from earth, and made stand on the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given unto it. The lion, let's look at your notes. This is Nebuchadnezzar and who had eagle's wings, and that's Nebuchadnezzar and Babylon. When was the wings plucked? Chapter 4. When they made him like an animal. You say, why did Nebuchadnezzar get made like an animal? So God could tell him, I'm in control. Don't you dare put your little fist up to me. And I'll give all you some advice tonight. Don't you shake your little bony fist at God. You're no match to Him. Don't you let your pride raise up in you. You're no match for Him. Don't you think of yourself better than you are, because you're no match for God. Amen. Amen. The wings were plucked. Speaks of His humbling. Hey, do you know Nebuchadnezzar went into insanity and became like a beast? But you know what? Somebody, I'll shout. Even God could raise him up, though. Look at the scripture. He had feet as a man and a man's heart. That's Nebuchadnezzar's restoration. Now, I'm going to say this. I believe this with my heart. I believe he got saved. I believe he was a God-fearing man after that happened. Amen. Hey, by the way, you ever encounter God and you let Him control your life, you'll see a God that can restore you from wherever you've been into. We don't have enough Baptist preachers preaching hope anymore. You help me. You know what we want to do? We want to kick our wounded by the wayside. We want to kick people that's made a mistake by the wayside. Tell them they'll never be a success again. Tell them they never can be used of God again. What a farce! I'm tired of hearing that. Because we all make mistakes. We all sin. We all come short. But some of you ought to thank God He didn't throw the clay away. Some of you need to take a look back in your life and all the stumbles and all the falls and how many times you fell and God lifted you up and how much God loved you. You might have a new appreciation of the love of God. Hey, Shoemate, put point number one on y'all's behind. God is sovereign over the nations. There you go. Because in verse 1, He reveals what He chooses to show us. In verses 2 through 8, He raises up whom He chooses for power. Amen? Now stay with me. Daniel 7 and 5, look at this. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear. And it raised up itself on one side. That's the dominance of that side. And it had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. Now, I need you to correct one thing. On your notes there, the three ribs, Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt, that is correct. But Babylon should be 553 B.C. Okay, I'm sorry. Typo. That was my fault, not the one that transcribed it, Preacher Smith's fault. 553, then Lydia in 546, that's the three ribs. Is it? No, wait a minute. Time out. Look at me. Before it ever happened, God predicted it would happen. And God told them that who was going to overtake Babylon, Lydia, and Egypt, the three great nations of that day. And God said, I don't think y'all got that. Do you have it? That means God holds. God is in control, ladies and gentlemen. I can't say. I'm going to say that probably 100 times tonight. Till some of y'all start believing it. Look at verse 6. Now I just want to show you. Now remember again. Please remember this. Lois, he's writing about the future. The liberals say, no. It's history. They got to say it's history because I want to tell you what. If they don't believe it's history, then they have to believe in an almighty controlling God who's in control. And not very many liberals believe that. Whew. Look at verse 6. And after this, behold, and lo, like a leper, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl that could go swiftly. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. Now write it down. Leper, leopard, is Greece under Alexander the Great. Those wings of speed and swiftness, he conquered the whole world at the age of 32. But hold a minute. Let me give you the rest of the story. He conquered the world but couldn't conquer himself. Died a drunk. Died at 32. Wasted life. I wonder, and this is just a little extra plug. I wonder why people think they got to have alcohol in their life. The greatest general of all time messed up and become a drunk and lost it all and died at 32. Tells you something else. He wasn't in control. God was in control. You know what some of you need to do? You need to quit using all these exterior things to prop you up. You don't need alcohol. You don't need drugs. You don't need pornography. You don't need extramarital affairs. You don't need all of that. What you need is a God who controls everything. And it would change your behavior. Let me go on. Well, we've seen them wings as swiftness. Well, what about these four heads? What about them? Hey, Brother Smith. He's looking down history now and put four heads on that leper. How many of you believe God's a precise God? Accurate God. This is amazing to me. I know history don't make some of you shout, but when Daniel wrote as a prophet and wrote about history and it unfolded just like he said it, somebody ought to shout. You said, what's them heads represent? I'm glad you asked. There are four different men that ruled over four different areas of the kingdom of Alexander the Great. And I got them wrote down there for you. Antiphar and the latter Cassadar gained control of Greece and Macedonia. Lysimachus ruled Thrace and a large part of Asia Minor. Seleucus won Nicator, ruled Syria, Babylon, and much of the Middle East, all of Asia except Asia Minor and Palestine. Ptolemy and one soldier controlled Egypt and Palestine. Wait a minute. This is 100 years later than when he penned it. Don't go quiet on me. That's something you ought to be shouting. That's God. Amen. Stay with me. Let's go to verse 7. After this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceeding. And it had great iron teeth. Now in Daniel 2, it had iron, he had iron legs. Iron speaking of the Roman Empire. Somebody say amen. It devoured and broke in pieces and stamped in the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. Verse 8, verse 19, and verse 26 is talking about the Roman Empire. And it had 10 horns that grew out of the beast, which speaks of the 10 nation confederacy, the revised Roman Empire. And then look at verse 8. And I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn. You better write in your Bible the law of first mention here. But before whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots, behold, in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. That little horn right there, and I'm going to show you here in a minute, that little horn right there is the Antichrist. Hello? Now stay with me. Everybody got your Bible? Turn to Revelation 13 for a minute. Let's slow it down a little bit. Oh, I got 15 minutes. Hallelujah. Go to Revelation 13. When you're there, say amen. Amen. I'm behind. Well, you ever had a new Bible that wouldn't open for you? All right, are you at Revelation 13? I'm going to go back there in a moment, too. And I stood upon the sand of the sea. And I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns. And upon his horns, 10 crowns. And upon his heads, the name of blaspheme. Now, notice this. Notice how it's a backward progression. And the beast was like unto a leopard, and his feet were the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a what? Lion. And the dragon gave him power, and his seat, and great authority. And I said, well, glory. You said, who's that? Them 10 horns right there, that's a revised Roman Empire. That Antichrist, that horn, same thing that was first mentioned. Now he's coming in full bloom. You remember when it said in Daniel 7 that he was yet growing? Now we see him in full bloom, him in the middle of the tribulation period. Now, let me give you one more insight. Turn to Revelation 17. Are y'all still with me? Everybody awake? Hallelujah. Now, let me see if I can jump in somewhere. You ever tried to jump in somewhere? All right, I'm going to do it right now. Jump into verse 8. Now, there's a lot of preaching here. By the way, there's a mystery Babylon and a political Babylon. Mystery Babylon's the harlot church. Now, let's look at verse 8. The beast, the same beast in chapter 13, thou sawest, the same one Daniel wrote, that ferocious, ugly beast. The beast that thou sawest was, and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit, and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not and yet is. That's some of the evidence you could probably say that Judas was the Antichrist, but we won't get into that. I don't want to tear up Chad this evening. Amen. And here is the mind which hath wisdom. The seven heads. Look, ladies and gentlemen, listen. The seven heads are the seven mountains on which the woman sitteth. You know what the seven mountains is? Of Rome. Stay with me, somebody. And there are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is. And the other is not yet come. And when he cometh, he must continue a short space. And the beast that was and is not, even he is the eighth and is of the seventh and goeth into perdition. And the ten horns which thou sawest are the ten kings which have received no kingdom as yet, but received power as kings 1 hour with the beast. Now stop. Daniel 2, 10 toes. Daniel 7, 10 horns. Revelation 13 and 17, 10 horns. Somebody help me preach. Are y'all getting any of this? Let's go on. These have one mind and shall, verse 13, and give their power and strength unto the beast. These shall make war with the lamb, and the lamb shall overcome them. We're going to get back to the lamb in chapter 7 in a moment. You're going to shout in a minute. I've got to get back there just show you that. And the lamb shall overcome them, for he is Lord of lords, King of kings, and they that are with him are called and chosen and faithful. Amen. What's quiet in here? Some of y'all need to perk up. This might be deep stuff, but it's thrilling to me. And the ten horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore and shall make her desolate and naked and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. For God had put in their hearts to fulfill his will. Oh my goodness. Somebody look up at me. I want everybody to look at that verse. Look at verse 17. I want you to look at it and read it with me. Everybody in the room, read this with me. For God had put in to what? And give her until the words of God shall be fulfilled. I don't even know if y'all got that or not. He's sovereign. God made them do his will. Somebody else shout. You said, buddy, I'm stronger than God. And I'm more willful than God. And he ain't no match for me. You better watch out. He'll knock a props out of you, Junior. You better not get too proud. You better not get too puffed up. Because I got a God that can bring you up, but also take you down. I better hurry, Lois. Go back to Daniel for a minute. Hurry. I got to close this thing. I'm not finished. I won't finish, but I'm go back. Go over Daniel 7 and 9. Hurry. When you get there, say amen loud. Amen. All right. You there? Now notice, I'll read verse 8. I considered the horns, and behold, there came up among them another little horn, for whom there were three of the first horns plucked up by the roots. And behold, in the horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking great things. Now notice. And I beheld till the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit. Who's that? That's God the Father. He is eternal and not old. He is wise and not senile. Somebody help me. Oh, that's him. A lot of people interpret that to be the Son, but that is not the Son. I'll prove that in just a minute. He had a garment white as snow. That's purity and righteousness. Hair on his head like pure wool, purity and wisdom. His throne was like a fiery flame, purifying and righteous judgment. His wheels as burning fire. No limitations or restrictions to his judgment. Judgment's coming to this world. Y'all all with me? Verse 10, a fiery stream issued and came forth from him, and thousands ministered unto him, and 10,000s, and 10,000 stood before him. The judgment set, and the books were opened. The fiery stream issued and came out, reinforces two previous ideas of righteous fury and the wrath of judgment. The thousands that ministered to him is a reference to angels, and you go over to Revelation 5:11, and they combine there. Now look at verse number 11 to 12. And behold, then, because of the voice of the great words which the horn spake, I beheld till the beast was slain and the body destroyed and give burning flame. As concerning the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. The little horn, compare it with Revelation 19, was when Jesus comes back and puts the false prophet and the Antichrist into the lake of fire. Look at verse 13 and 14. If you're there, say amen. This is the most important part. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like what? See now, hold a minute. Got it now? Ancient Days, God, Son of Man, Jesus. One like the Son of Man came with clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And it was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom. And all people, nations, and languages shall serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away. And his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. The Son of Man is none other than Jesus Christ. That title was given to him 69 times in the gospel. He is going to have a universal kingdom. Hold up. Universal. It'll stem the whole world. He'll be ruling from Israel. Jerusalem, and by his side is David, co-regent. And you and I are going to be spread out all the world, ruling for him. Somebody told me I was going to be governor of Wolfpen. I don't know. What a flattery. Now notice. I want you to go to chapter 7. I'm going to give you one more last thing. Chapter 7. Go down to verses 19 through 26. I'm going to show you something. I probably will come back to this next week. Lord, look at verse 21. I'll just give you a taste of this, and next week I'll finish this. And beheld, the same horn made war with the saints and prevailed against them. Now you say, where is that in the Bible? Turn over to Revelation. Y'all with me? I'm going to finish here. Revelation 13. And go down to verse 7. And when you get there, say amen. You already there? All right, let's look at it. It was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power is given him over kindreds and tongues and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man hear, let him hear. Now hold a minute. Can I ask y'all a question? Look at me, I'm done. Can I ask you a question? Have y'all ever heard this statement before in Revelation? Now I want somebody to quote that verse that was found in Revelation 2 and 3 seven times. If any man hear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Notice something. Church is not here. I don't do this very often, church. Y'all pray for me. I'm a little psycho once in a while. When I see hate and false teaching on the internet, and the only reason I'm on Facebook is to debunk that bunch of people and lift up Christians, I wouldn't be on a thing. I wouldn't have a TV either, but that's another thing. I got them both. Somebody said you ought to get rid of your TV when you do. But last week, there's one of our sister churches put up a picture of the pre-tribulation rapture. Premillennialism, pre-tribulation. And some Andersonite yo-yo. I hope you're listening. Got on there and went on a diatribe. And I couldn't help myself, Lois. But I did intervene on that one. I said, you know what your problem is? You know what your problem is? You're a replacement theologist. The only way you can believe what you do is you've got to have the church in Israel the same. Because the church ain't mentioned in Revelation. After Daniel chapter 5. Somebody help me preach. You said, well, who them saints then? I'm glad you asked. I know who they are. And I'll show all y'all next week. They're the tribulation saints who were preached to by the 144,000 and who were preached to by the two witnesses. And they had worldwide revival. And I believe there will be worldwide revival of the heathen during the tribulation. But I want to tell you this. Now you may disagree with this. It's okay. I will fire at you for disagreeing with this. But I want y'all to know something. I think if somebody heard the gospel here and was convicted by the Holy Spirit here, they ain't going to receive him there. They'll believe a lie and be damned. That's what the Bible said. Y'all hearing me? If you're here lost tonight, you better get off of it and get right with God. I'll go back to this next week. I'm going to show y'all that because that parasite that got on there, they don't believe the 144,000 are Jews. And they believe those revelations, those tribulation saints, you know who they believe they are, Chad? You and me. We're going through the tribulation. I want y'all to know, Revelation 4:1 is when I'm going up. after the church age. They ain't going to see me again until Revelation 19 when I come back. Well, help me learn one thing tonight. Thank you. Man, I tell you, it's in this rich. I know it. I ciphered through a lot of stuff tonight. Did the fact sheet help any? All right, stand with me. I want to ask you a question tonight. Serious question. Two. If you die today, how many, or the Lord come today, how many know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand. I want to make sure of it tonight. Let me ask you this. How many saved people in this room feel like you're kind of out of control tonight? Your life's kind of up and down, in and out. You feel out of control. But you found out tonight that God's still in control. How many of you need God's help to help you in some situation that got you sideways? Raise up your hand, I'll pray for you. God bless all y'all. God bless you. I'll dismiss. Everybody said they're saved. Father, there's several in our church that's being battered and bruised by the devil. He's trying to wear them out just like he did in Daniel 7. And Lord, I pray tonight that you'll help them and you'll move upon them and encourage them that everything is in your hands and you got everything under control. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Good night.